Do take a seat, folks. Sorry, it's cooling down in here as well now, isn't it? Yes. That'll keep you awake anyway. Anthony, folks, thank you very much. Great job. Nathan, Christina, the floor is yours.
Well, hello everyone, how are we? Good. What about you? How's your cutting? Cutting well. Close ahead, sir. That was Northern Irish lingo, by the way. Yes, for those who don't know, I'm Nathan. And
I'm Christina, or Nina.
Or Nina. Yeah, and we've just been asked to share today a little bit about our experience of blessing others or receiving blessing. You know, we've been talking about it over the last few weeks and meetings about the idea of doing blessing events, and we just wanted to, we've been asked to put a little bit of, a little bit of colour to that, given we go to a church that we think does that kind of event or that kind of blessing of others pretty well. So we go to a church called St. John's in Southall, so just west of here. It is an Anglican church, but for those who know anything about Southall, know it is an incredibly diverse place. It has people from all over the world there, and actually our congregation is a real reflection of that. White British people make up about 8% of the congregation, which is unusual for a church in the UK, and it is a place, so at Southall is a place that is just full, not just of people from all over the world, but many religions, which make it makes it really interesting trying to evangelize. You can't just do, you know, alpha courses or run worship nights and expect people to come in the door. You've got to really change how you evangelize. You've got to really change how you target bringing people to know, to love the Lord and know the Lord and as their personal savior. I was a youth worker in the church for a while, and we couldn't just go out and talk to kids when we were running youth clubs and say, do you know the Lord, and run Bible sessions, because the parents would just stop sending them because they would be see us as trying to take their kids away from their roots in their Muslim, Hindu, Sikh faiths. So it creates a really interesting dynamic and a really interesting way. And our church has found, and what we think is that one of the best ways to really engage with these people, we often hear the term interfaith, and a lot of our times our mind just jumps to this universalistic sort of view that interfaith means that, you know, God loves everyone, and which he does, but that they're all saved regardless of whether they believe in Jesus. That's not how we understand it. We understand it as the best way to bring people to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior is to have good dialogue, is to bless them and to love them with our actions, with our words, with our relationships. So our doors of the church are always open pretty much all day. We run various different things, which Christina will share about. But I think it's just helpful to understand that context, that it's a very challenging place, like London in general, and everywhere else has its unique challenges. And but I think our church has found a really good way to meet those challenges and to be a blessing. It falls short at times. Oftentimes it shies away, we feel, from preaching the gospel, but at least when this comes to the idea of blessing, that's not overtly evangelistic, it could be, but it might not be. It might just be giving food. It might just be helping the homeless. It might just be helping illegal immigrants with legal papers. It might be helping people who are financially burdened. It might be whatever it may be. We just want to be the love of Christ and be Christ to them. And so I think Christina is now just going to share a little bit of some of the some of the things that we do that really give, you know, hopefully shows the love and blesses others.
Yeah, I think before I reel off a list of things that our church does that probably a lot of your churches also do, I think the first thing that I feel or felt really inspired by the people who serve and people who run things from our church in particular is that everyone seems to be so totally aware of our own brokenness and our own sinfulness. And we can often think that we can't possibly do things like, you know, bless the homeless or open a food bank because, you know, who am I? But, you know, we are Jesus's hands and feet, and I think that's something that I've been really challenged by, and I hope all of us, as we go into the next year, are challenged to think about how we can, you know, channel the Lord and what he's called us to. So a variety of things that our church does. We have a food bank that we run in partnership with a lot of different organisations like the Trussell Trust and what's the big green van? Felix Project. And people will come and volunteer with us at the food bank who also need to receive the food parcels. So it's a way that we get to know people who wouldn't necessarily feel like they're able to step through these big church doors, and it's an open space that everyone is welcome. Similarly with the we don't run a homeless shelter all through the year. During the winter months we often do, but we have a homeless outreach in support with again a local charity called Hope for South or Street Homeless. Pretty much a kind of a quarter of the back of church is just donations. It's the sorting area, and the doors of the side of the church are always open. You've always got a group of guys who come, often bringing their friends. So I've been blessed to be able to help out there a little bit. And especially when you've got language difficulties and people who don't speak English very well, having a warm place with a welcoming smile, someone who's willing and has maybe a bit of time to sit down and hear what you can help with, I think has been really impactful. So those are two. Coming into the kind of bringing people more into the church building. So we run English classes again from being in a context where lots of people don't speak English very well or have just come to this country new and are wanting to learn. We host those classes in the church building as well, which is sometimes a bit of a challenge for the Muslim ladies in particular. They don't feel like they're allowed to come into the church often. But once we kind of transition them from the church hall to the smaller church hall to the back of church, we kind of break that barrier a little bit. And then I think the final one that I'll just reel off again before I pass over to Nathan is a congregation, we call it, called The Table. So every other Friday, I think it's every other Friday? Every other Friday. In the church hall, so not in the church building this time, we have a space for people to come who don't really want to come to the main church, who want to be able to wrestle with some of these things about, you know, who is Jesus? What does he do? I mean, I'm a Muslim. I believe in Jesus. I believe he's going to come at the second coming and signify the end of the world. But he didn't die and he's not the Son of God. Who are you to say that to me? So it's a good place for us to have that Christian-Muslim dialogue, have the Christian-Sikh dialogue, usually over a lot of really good food, which is, again, core to a lot of great conversations and great friendships. So that's my final one. There's a few others, but I'll let Nathan
finish. Yeah, I think it's all about, as the idea of the table and something else I'll share about in a minute, is just the idea of you know, coming together and being able to build relationship and trust, because I think that's really key to dealing with and talking and engaging with people of other faiths, is building trust, because they often feel like we're just out to you know, turn or burn mentality, which, you know, and is true to an extent, but you know, we need to build the relationship and the trust before we can engage, so we're not just entering into, you know, theological debates from day one. We're trying to get to know them, who they are, understand there, you know, because it can't, it's not just one way. We want to understand. They're also probably trying to bring us to know their, to be in their faith. So it's very interesting. The table's brilliant. It's just come together over table, over food, and discuss. There's sung worship. There's various different things. And we've seen people come through the English classes, through the over 60s club, through the youth clubs, to that, through off the street. We often have work partner with other charities, like a charity called Mahaba, which is specifically about reaching out to people of the Islamic faith, and how we can better enter into dialogue and better outreach and be Christ's witness to them and bring them to faith. That's part of it. Another thing that we do is we're very closely linked with a charity called Arusha. Anyone know what Arusha is? Yeah, it's a environmental charity, so a Christian charity that is very focused on caring for the planet and being good stewards of the planet. So we have various different people who work for Arusha. We have one of the founders of the Arusha comes to the church, a guy called Reverend Dave Booklis, and so that we use that charity, which is Christian, but it's not, again, overtly Christian, everything it does. It says that God is a good, we are to be good stewards of God's planet. So Muslims, Sikhs will come along because they feel that that is something that is important to them as well. And we use it to obviously witness to them. And so we part after church, we will do Messy Church, which is a youth church on a Friday afternoon. After that, there'll be maybe go litter picking, or there's an allotment that they look after, a park that they look after. And they use that as one to educate people on environmental challenges and how we can be better stewards of the planet, but two, to give them skills to grow their own food, to do things like that, which they might, you know, not be able to access before. So I think sort of why we wanted to share some of these things was just that there's so many things that we do, and a lot of these things have just come from the skills of people within the church. We had teachers who taught English who decided we could run English class for women who can't speak English, so they can then better settle into society, and we can have an opportunity to bring them into the church building. We have, we have people who are very passionate about the environment, so they've just opened up and used their passions to bring people and engage with people, and with what an outlook to bring them to know Jesus, but ultimately it's to build relationship and bring them on that path and let the Lord work in their life. We have people who really help others with finances. You know, we have, as I said, we have a lot of people who are struggling with immigration, whether that be they've entered the country illegally, whether they're here asylum, whether they are here and they're here legally, but they're struggling to renew visas, whatever it may be. We have people in the church who are trained to help them. We have doctors in the church who run surgeries. We have counsellors in the church who have decided to run counselling sessions for people. And I think it's to encourage you is coming into these blessing events, it's thinking, what skills or what things do I have that could bless other people? Is it finances I could help? So we could run a session to bless people with finances. Is it sport, that we could run football coaching sessions for the young people in Acton to bless them? Is it, I don't know, it could be anything. It could be cooking, baking, it could be, computer tech, because people are struggling with their tech. I don't know, whatever. But it's just getting at your brain thinking, what can I do that can bless others? Rather than thinking, I'll just go to these events and bless others. It's actually, what can I do to step up and do that? Because that's how a lot of our things in church that we think are really good and bring people in. In terms of touch points with people in a week, I think our church engages with something like 1,400 or 1,500 people a week through just church services. That's not including what the charities do that our church connects or is set up from within the church. So it's a lot of touch points. But it all started from people saying, I have an idea, could we do it? Yeah, let's do it. So I think that's it from us. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Nathan. Thanks, Nina. That was very helpful. Okay, can I invite us all to stand, please? And we'll just take some time to bring some of our needs before the Lord. So I'll move out of the way in just a moment. There's a screen full of stuff there. Please just pray out as you feel led. Don't feel constrained by what's on the screen, but if there's something else that the Lord is putting on your heart for us, please pray out.